Okay, good morning, Shalom Aleichem. It's great to be back learning with everybody after a week hiatus in Poland. But it's really, really great to be back and learning with everybody for Parshas Bechukosai. It is Shabbos Chazak, and it is Shabbos Mevarchim of Chodesh Sivan. But we see an anomaly in the liturgy, really for all Sfiras Omer, but it's really, I think, punctuated and highlighted this Shabbos. This Shabbos, we are Mevarchim the Chodesh of Sivan, you know, in the same way that we do it every single month, but this month has more of an oomph to it. The beginning of Nisan, the beginning of Sivan, has a certain level of excitement to it that other months don't necessarily have. They're the Shloshish Mehagbala, you know, right away, right when you get into Sivan. We know once we begin Sivan, we are really right there on the doorsteps of Matan Torah. We're on the footsteps of Har Sinai, and it is such an exciting time. But really, the entire Sfiras Omer is meant and intended to be a count up towards the excitement of Matan Torah. Yet, right after we recite the Birchas HaChodesh in Shul across the country, what do we say right after Birchas HaChodesh this year? I'll ask the question. What goes after Birchas HaChodesh?
Avarachman.
Generally, if we say Birchas HaChodesh, the simcha, the joy that we experience in beginning the brand new month overrides and overwhelms the Avarachman that is recited, and we go straight to Ashrei. That's the halacha. That's the way it works. Here, it's not so. Since Avarachimim was a tefillah that was written post-Crusades, it was meant to acknowledge and recognize the tragic loss and tremendous loss of life and loss of communities and Torah centers throughout the Eastern European world because of the Crusades. And as a result, that tefillah is recited in Shul every single Shabbos. Except when there's a chassan in Shul, except when it's Shabbos Mevarchim. There's certain exceptions when there is a simcha that overrides that tragedy, except during Sfiras Omer. Why? Because the majority of the pogroms that took place during the Crusades took place during this time, the springtime, during Sfira. And therefore, even when we say just a joyous tefillah, it's such a special occasion as the Shabbos Mevarchim tefillah represents, we still say it because the tragic loss of life is literally in front of us. It's meso mutal lafana. And because of that, we can't ignore it. We see from there, and therefore we must address it, and it must be mixed emotions, the joy with the sadness. We still say it. And we see from there that when tragedy is in front of us, it must disrupt our lives. We can't ignore it and put it on the back burner, but it needs to be something that's part of our lives. The simcha that we experience must be punctured or mitigated as a result. And therefore, this Shabbos is a Shabbos of Avarachmim, and it's a Shabbos of Mevarchim Chodesh together.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Related to this, in terms of tefillah, like when we say tachanun, if we have a simcha, do we omit tachanun
during this time of the year?
No, I mean say in general.
Yeah.
I had a question last week. I think when you were away, when it came to Pesach Sheni, it says in the Siddur that some people don't say it. But my question is, we basically say it, and I think if you line up Pesach Sheni versus Lag BaOmer, I would think the simcha of Pesach Sheni should far outweigh the simcha of Lag BaOmer. I mean, here you had a deraisa, yeah. You were able to make up to bring the Karban Pesach.
It's a great question.
You would think that that's a big simcha, that and yet we say, at least in our shul, we do say tachna.
Yeah, the minhag in our shul say tachna. I think the minhag in general is the majority, I think, don't say tachanun. We say it because it's not yet a holiday, or it was a holiday associated with the Korban Pesach. we're not bringing that korban today. So since we're not bringing that korban today, the minhag in our shul has been to say tachlanun because there is no korban now. That's really where it's coming from. The celebration of Lag BaOmer was instituted after there was a korban to begin with. There was no korban associated with it. It's a post, it's a rabbinic holiday at best, probably custom based. And as a result of that, therefore, it said always. It's not said Lag BaOmer's experience always, but not the tachna. Therefore, but I'm sharing these remarks 3 days after two days after the tragedy in Uvalde, Texas. This is something that I think I don't think any of us have met or know relatives or family members of the murdered victims. This is a senseless tragedy that I think we as a community and we as individuals, humans, Jewish people, I think it's a value of ours that we cannot ignore and we need to think about. On Shabbos, we will discuss more practically and have more reflections on this. I think it's going to be very important. You're sending your grandchildren, your children to school. Some of your good friends work in schools. We spent Wednesday doing 1 hour, at least an hour of drills in the middle of classes today, right? This is common. It's a common thing. My daughter was the daughter that was like the kidnapped fake victim that they have to do this. Missing children, like in every single school across the country, Jew, non-Jew, Christian, Muslim, doesn't matter. This is a tragedy and continues to be something that happens more often in our country than any other country in exponential numbers. I'm not here to be, this is not political. I'm just stating facts. And it's something that I think we need to really think about a lot. And I really just want to dovetail this with a second thought, and that is when you go to the end of the parsha, we have Bechukosai. Bechukosai mainly is known about the klalos, the tochacha that's given, the result, the consequence of the Jewish people not following in the ways of the Torah. And as a result of that, there are significant consequences. There's tragedies that occur. Chazal, some say that this really took all of the tochacha that took place in Bechukosai took place already in our history. And you only need to read the tragedies of the Churban and the pogroms and crusades and the Holocaust of the past to know that, according to many, we've experienced such horrific times. Immediately following, what's amazing is, immediately following this story, immediately following the episode of the tochacha, we have one last mitzvah to cap off Parshas Bechukosai, and that is the mitzvah of Arachin. Some people say it Erchin. The correct way is Arachin. Arachin is that if one wants to donate the value of themselves to the Beis HaMikdash, it's a great way to celebrate a birthday. How many celebrate a birthday? I remember the Shlosses, Aleihem L'Shalom, right? The Liesl and Norbert, they would always celebrate their birthdays and anniversaries by giving something to the shul of meaning. I think the shtender that I use in the shul was given at their maybe 50th or 60th wedding anniversary. But that's a way to celebrate life, is to give back to the Bati Knesios and back then to the Bati Mikdash. So one would give, and the Erech that one would give is depends on one is a male or female, depends what age they are at, and you'd give your value to the Beis HaMikdash. And many of the Mefarshim, struggle with this idea, like why is this the halacha that's taught after the tochacha? What's the connection, right? Ma inyan tochacha, etzel, the mitzvah of Arachin. So the Kli Yakar says something really powerful that I think really connects to what we're experiencing now. But really, as a Klal Yisrael, we see this also. He says that after experiencing the tragedy of the Tochacha and the loss of significant life, one could easily, think that, life is not, there's no value to life. Life is fleeting. Hevel avalim, amar hevel, hakol hevel. It's nothingness, and that people themselves therefore have no meaning in their lives, and really there is no value that people have. Therefore, the Kli Yakar says our response to a tragedy, a senseless tragedy, our response to a Holocaust where so many people are murdered, is dafka the opposite. After the tochacha, we learn erchin, that to learn that we have value, that people do have real value, that every single person is a world unto themselves, and therefore our response to tragedy is to pledge our value to the continuation of our people, that nobody is ordinary, that every one of us has the capacity to make extraordinary contributions if we only dedicate ourselves in that manner.
Rabbi, just a comment on the tragedy and everything else. More contrast is that this morning, for those who davened with us this morning at the second minyan, Abe Bichler came and he davened for his grandmother, and we did the whole Kelmal Rachamim and everything for his grandmother. Just put it in contrast. This kid, before he went to shoot in the school, he shot his grandmother. I mean, just the value of life and what things are worth. Contrast that with what the Schlossers would have done or anybody else would do in that situation. I mean, where's the value of life? Where's the value of humanity to this kid? And if that's what drives these people, it's sad. There's Bichler, a Holocaust survivor. Remember his grandmother.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Sam.
I just thought that was...
Thank you, Sam. Yeah. Rav Chaim Dov Keller, one of the Rosh Yeshiva at Tales in Chicago, adds to this idea. He makes a great point. He says that after Noach leaves the Teva, right? Noach leaving the Teva was a very powerful moment in world history. And he was faced with the erasure, right, of humanity and a restart to everything. And what is one of the first mitzvahs that he is given? Shofech dam hadam badamo yishafech, that their prohibition of murder. And he points out that why is the mitzvah or the prohibition of murder given right at this moment to Noach? And he says, because it could have been so easy to devalue life at this moment. So therefore, the Torah needs to say that every single person is an olam unto themselves. We prohibit murder, because every human being has tremendous value and is irreplaceable. And I think that really, really connects to the idea of the Kli Yakar. Okay, moving right along, I want to give a second answer to our question, and I want to share a story of something that happened last week. So a second approach to what, you know, why is Erchim followed? Why does it follow the mitzvah or the tochacha in the Torah? Is that when people are knocked down, and people are knocked down through the tochacha, what is our response? Our response is to uplift them, right? Our response is to tell them you have value, right? You have value. So I felt this most strongly last week. Some of you may have heard this story. I don't think I gave her over all the details, but I want to just share with you again. We met a young boy in the Lublin Yeshiva. The Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. To get into the Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, you needed to know 400 Daf of Gemara. The Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin was established in 1930. What was amazing was, by Rameir Shapiro, the founder of Daf Yomi, Rameir Shapiro was a force to be reckoned with. He was a giant visionary. Not only did he establish Daf Yomi, but he also, at the same time, was a member of the Polish parliament, the Bund, and he sought out to build this yeshiva, Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, in which it was the first yeshiva ever in Jewish history to have dormitories, indoor plumbing, and serve the boys three meals a day. The yeshiva was established. The Chanukah Sabbais of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin took place on Lag BaOmer, 1930. That's powerful for us last week, because we were standing there the day before Lag BaOmer. We were going there. We first had a Chnasa Sefer Torah in the shul. Rabbi Yaakov Lerner, his uncle, was a Rosh Hashiva after Rameir Shapiro died very suddenly in 1933. And from 33 to 39 until the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, came into Lublin, he was the Rosh Hashiva. And we sang and danced in the yeshiva last week with some of the refugees. Right now, Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin is a refugee center because the Jewish community took over the building 20 years ago and they made it into a hotel with a restaurant in it. And right now, it is a place where people have go to seek refuge. And while we were dancing there, a young boy, 12-year-old boy named Anatoly, came in. And he danced with us. And he was wearing, baggy pants and, nice wool tzitzis. He explained to us that the pants probably weren't his. They weren't his. The basement is full of clothing shipped in from all over the world, donations from all over the world. And he was, that's what refugees do. It was really just so sad. Woman was explaining to us last week that this is my style. I don't wear clothes like this. And she pointed to what she was wearing. And she's like, this is so uncomfortable to be in the position that I am in right now. And it really gives you a sense of what it means to be a refugee. It really gave us more empathy retroactively for 80 years ago when our Bubbies and Zadies, our brothers and sisters, came over to America, to other countries, and had to restart and resettle. And they literally had nothing, couldn't speak the language. And it was so hard for them. I really now understood that in a much deeper, more profound level than I ever could before by, meeting the refugees. So we were talking to this boy, Anatoly, right after the dancing, and he told us he's 12 years old. So I asked him, when's his bar mitzvah? 10 months. Bar mitzvah is going to be in 10 months. He hopes to be in Israel at that time. He has older sister who's learning in Hebrew U from the Ukraine, and he actually speaks English. He goes to an English-speaking school for part of the day. And immediately, one rabbi, he told me he used to live in Fairlawn, Yuval Nof, Rabbi Nof. And he immediately said, here's tefillin. He brought tefillin with us. He gave him mazel tov, a pair of tefillin. And then we had one rabbi from Turkey, from Istanbul, Turkey, Rabbi Naftali Haleva, said, I have a suit for you in the bus. He made a bar mitzvah for his son a few weeks before this. And his son said, bring the suit with you. Maybe there's a boy that needs a suit. So I was thinking, and the suit, Hashkacha Pratis, fit Anatoly perfectly. And as we were seeing this, I said, why would you bring a suit? They don't need suits. They need food. They need shelter. They need clothing. They need money. Why would you bring a suit? So I thought of this idea. We have the Arachin right after Bichukosa. Because after people are knocked down, they're displaced, they're not in their own comfortable, safe element, we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to uplift them, to give them chizuk, not just emotional support, but they need to be treated like kings. They need to be treated well. You can't just throw a few things at them. If an ani comes to your door, right? We don't just throw money at them. It's not respectful. It's not nice. We need to treat people with dignity. But that suit really represented the aracham, the erech of this person. He has value. Little Anatoly has value and meaning that he can give in his life. And that was maybe the message of the suit and one other answer to why the arachin comes immediately following the story of the tochacha. Continuing on, we'll go back to the first pasuk in the parsha. The Torah tells us, "Im bechukosai teilechu, ves mitzvotai tishmoru." Rashi is troubled by this language. If you walk with my chukim and you follow my mitzvos, so Rashi says, "What are chukim as opposed to mitzvos?" Rashi writes that "im bechukosai teilechu" refers to the mitzvah of learning Torah bi'amelus, not just learning Torah, but learning Torah in a significant way, in a hard way. One needs to learn Torah that they learn any other. If you're studying, you got to study and do it really, really well. So asks Rav Henoch Leibowitz, the great Rosh Hashiva, the Yeshivas Chafetz Chaim, in his Sefer Chidushei Halef. If that is true, in Bechukosai Teleichu, the language of the Torah should have been, and this is referring to Talmud Torah, the Torah should say, in Bechukosai Tilamedu. If you are learning my statutes, not if you are walking in my statutes, it's really like the incorrect verb. It should be, you're learning it, not walking to it. So what does this mean? Why does the Torah say it in this fashion? So he says the following. He writes that the Medrash tells us that David HaMelech shares. David HaMelech in Tehillim writes, Kuf Yutes Nuntes, Chashavti Durachai, Vashiva Ragli, El Edosecha. I thought about your ways, and I took my feet towards your Edosecha, towards your mitzvos. Amar David, continues the Medrash, Ribono Sholom, B'chol Yom Vayom, Hayisi Mechashi V'Omer, every single day, I think in my mind, L'makom Ploni U'lebeis Dira Plonis Ani Holich. I need to go to this place and to that place. Vayu Raglai Mevios Osila Bati Knesios U'lebati Midrashos. Every single day I wake up, my secretary tells me, I dive in and then I go to the office and the secretary tells me, you need to go to speak to the general. You need to go visit these individuals. They're having a difficult time. You need to go paskin this dispute in court. And as I walk out, David HaMelech says, my mind says to go to those places. My feet bring me to the base measures. My feet bring me elsewhere. So says David, says the Chidush Aleif, Rav Henoch Leibowitz, something so beautiful, that David HaMelech is teaching us that he had the utmost important things to do in this world that were of national and international import, right? And Halacha says that those things, those responsibilities override our mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Yet, David was so accustomed to learn that his body took him to the base measures, right? So he says that even though he's probably speaking to his boys in yeshiva, right? One day you're going to have a tremendous amount of responsibilities. You're not going to have the time to like learn all day. Your body needs to go to the base measures. There needs to be time in your day where you are still learning, where your body just takes you there. Naturally, that's where you go. You know, you think about great people, right? They always have a sefer with them. They're always learning. Today, it's so easy. You have podcasts, you have phone, you have the YU Torah, Torah Anytime app. There's so many different venues and ways to accomplish. In Bechukosai, Teleichu. They were always wanting to go to the base medrash. We may not always make it there because there are other responsibilities out there for us to do. And those are very important and valuable in our own lives. And maybe we are the only ones that could accomplish those things. Yet, we always need to have our priorities straight. That is at a loss of Talmud Torah. We can never forget that, what the most important thing is. And we have to always keep that in mind in our lives. That is thought number three. In Bechukosei Teleichu, and not Tilamedu. Before we get to the Tochacha in the Torah, it's the fourth thought for today. Before we get to the Tochacha in the Torah gives us several brachos. What happens if you do and you follow in the ways of Hashem? Good. The rain comes in time and everything is good. And then the Torah says the following. The Nesati Mishkani Bisochachem. I will place my sanctuary amongst you. The Lo Sig'al Nafshi Eschem. And I will not become disgusted by you. So asks the Shemen HaTov, what type of blessing is this? Right? Just imagine, you know, Mother's Day was just a few weeks ago. know, the card says, we love you so much that we're not even disgusted by you. I don't think you'd score any points with that Hallmark card, right? What does this mean? If you follow in Hashem's ways, one of the brachos is, we won't be Hashem won't get disgusted by you. God won't reject you. How does that fit into, right, all the other brachos, all the other blessings that are given over here? So the Shem Netov explains, I think it's something so important about relationships. In a love relationship, right, there are a lot of very strong emotions. And strong emotions are a very good thing. It's good to be romantic. It's good to be in love. It's good to try to seek that out and to rekindle a marriage and to find ways to never stop dating. At the same time, there's a reality when there is such strong emotions between two parties, between two partners, who are spending so much time together and live under the same roof, there will be disputes. There will be miscommunications. There will be arguments between the two people. We are all different. We're created differently. And that is the reality that we have in our lives. But what happens when we fight? What happens when we don't get along? So sometimes it can go too far. V'lo sig'al nafshi eschem. Hashem's telling us that it's reality that it will happen. We will not get along. You will falter, Klal Yisrael. You will trip up. You will disappoint me. But I'm telling you as a haftacha, I will not become disgusted by you. Disgust is a strong word. John Gottman uses that as one of his four horsemen where that can destroy a marriage. Disgust between two partners. The Gemara says this very strongly, right? And you see this, right? The couples that go through a messy divorce, lo aleinu, they hate each other. That love, right? That strong emotion can become hate so fast. One has to get it learned. We have to teach ourselves how to get out of those moments before it gets, we say something that we really regret. But the Gemara says that when the love between a husband and wife is so strong, they can even live on the tip of a sword. But if it's not so strong, even a bed that's made of 60 amos is not big enough for the two of them. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying that the relationship between us and Hashem, right, will never be disgusted. We'll never have that level. That is a bracha also, that one will get into spats and disagreements and arguments and miscommunications, but it won't get that deep. It won't get that far where it's irreparable, where it's impossible to reconcile the differences between both parties.
Rabbi.
Yeah, Mendy.
So I was very happy to hear that the yeshiva in what was it, Lublin that started on Lag BaOmer. They started 76 years, as you're holding up the cup right there, 76 years
before Natap.
Right, for Natap. Now, if you take 76, 76 gives you 13, right? If you add the two numbers, and 13, two words that add up to the letters 13 are Ahava and Echad. Echad being Hashem, and Ahava, you could say, is our, like you said, also the relationship maybe between us and Hashem. So we're in good company.
Beautiful. Very nice. It's very, very beautiful. Okay. It's very beautiful. Okay. Last thought for this morning. Where is it? Oh, sorry. There it is. So there is a word, sorry, the back to the first Rashi. In Bechuko Saitelechu, Vesmusaitishmor, Vesisamosam. Rashi says, this refers to Amelus Batorah. Says the Eish Tamid, Rav Druk, that he says, why is the word Halicha used as opposed to the word Lamad or Tilamedu? He says, Yesh Lamar Bezeh, Od Mahalich, Atzum, Api Masha Shemati Bezeh, Bar Niflon. He says, I want to share with you something very, very important about Lam. What's the Gemara? The Gemara says, Amar Mechia Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Tamid Chamin Lam, Menucha, Lo Balom Bezeh, Lo Baolam Haba. Tamid Chachamim never have rest. Yelchu Mechayo El Chayo. They always need to go from one strength to the next. The Kobe Hashem Yachalifa Kobach and the Kadosh Baruch Hu will continue to give them strength. Right? You see there, the Lashon Halicha means no rest, no stopping. That's the difference between walking and running. Running is faster than walking. But when you run, what do you need to do? When you run, you have to stop and take breaks. Even somebody in a marathon, right? I was supposed to run a marathon a few years ago, the High Lifeline Marathon. You're running or you're jogging at a slow pace. You need to stop at a certain point. You don't stop fully because then like you're losing time, but you have to slow down. If somebody's running very fast, you can't do that the entire time. And it's very rare. Ein efsharut larutz harbei b'li hafseik rak haguf b'tayif. The body's going to wear down. But when you're walking, somebody could walk a very long time, a very long time without stopping. So says Rav Druk, why does the Torah use the word halicha and not ritza? We should run with the Torah. We should take the Torah and run with it. He says when you do that, you lose more because you got to stop in the middle. You got to take breaks. Life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. We walk with the Torah. We take our time from what we are up to in our lives. Whether you are a novice, you're somebody that's new in Torah, or whether you are a, you know, advanced in your learning, if we take on more than we can chew, then nothing is accomplished. Nothing is accomplished. Somebody recently told me, Daf Yomi was just too much for him. He couldn't do it. But you know what he got into? Mishnah Yomi. It was the 45 minutes a day, plus he felt like he had to understand that it was too much. Yivama, whatever it was. He said, Mishnah Yomi, I could do that. I'll learn 10 minutes a day, two Mishnayos. And already we're 5 months in, he's finished 4 or 5 Masechtas. That's unbelievable. The failure of our world today and our society, which is very results driven, is that we feel like if we're not accomplishing everything, every moment of every day, then we're a failure and we're accomplishing nothing. That is wrong. That is wrong. In bechukosai telechu, walk with the Torah, gingerly, slowly, lightly. And when we do that, we will have a lifelong relationship to the Torah itself. That is the last thought for today. I thought a beautiful thought from Rav Druk. Took me a second to find it in the Talmud. So five ideas for today. We began by highlighting the liturgical anomaly in our tefillah. We say Birchas HaChodesh, but we say Avarachamim. We have to address the tragedy that's in the room. Secondly, we connect that to the Arachim, the Kliyakar, that even when we experience loss of life, we can't get used to that. Secondly, we gave another answer that when someone is knocked down by the tocha of their own lives, we need to, our job is to uplift them as well. Fourth, the two ideas about im b'chukos haytelechu, we need to be walking to the base medrash, right? Even though we don't actually make it there because of other responsibilities, that's our mindset. But we need to pace ourselves in our lives and accomplish a little bit every single day. Wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
What were you doing in Poland?